The views and opinions expressed on this show belong solely to the hosts and their guests and do not reflect the views of any on-site institutions unless explicitly stated.
What's up, everybody? My name is Steve Vandewall.
And I'm Justin Klosser.
And we're your hosts of Cannabis Cum Laude, a podcast devoted entirely to cannabis. We're going to talk cultivation, business, medicine, politics, culture, advocacy, and everything in between.
The cannabis industry is complicated. It's robust. It has a lot of moving parts. And it's our job to help you understand it just a little bit better. So tune in every week for a brand new episode. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on the show, send it on over to questions@cannabiscumlaude.com. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this week's episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. We are here with Berna Tikhonchuk, a professor at Finger Lakes Community College in the horticulture department. She has been had quite the career in horticulture. We spent the first part of this episode talking about kind of how education has evolved in terms of cannabis. In this episode, we're really going to dive into some of the specifics regarding some of the curriculum specifics in Finger Lakes Community College's cannabis program. So at a high level, you said there were three class track. Can you kind of give us a high level overview of each one of those classes, please?
Sure. Yeah. So, we have one 100 level and two 200 level classes, if that means anything. The 100 level class is regulations. So it's regulations of cannabis cultivation. It is basically talks about what's going on with laws and regulations in, especially in New York State, around cannabis. Okay, so it's cannabis as far as cultivation. And it is taught by an attorney who has been at the forefront of cannabis regs for a number of years. And so that's the 100 level class that a student would take in their first semester when they're taking the cannabis track in the horticulture program. And then the next class would be a 200 level class with a prerequisite of plant structure and function class, which teaches you how plants grow, basically. And that is a basic history of cannabis, right from the history to the industrialization type of thing. So it's an overview class. Justin, you're pretty familiar with it. That's the one class that you took. And then the third class is in a student's final semester, so fourth semester, is cannabis cultivation, which has no prerequisites in the sense of taking other classes. And that is more of a hands-on class in the greenhouse, as well as more of a field trip oriented class. That particular class has not been offered yet because we just started this track last year. So it will be this springtime that that class is offered. So those are the three classes within the track. What I always tell students in the horticulture program, cannabis track, is when they're in a class right in their first semester, intro to horticulture, and they have to read articles in periodical publications, magazines, then read it about cannabis. Yeah. You know, when they're in their fourth semester or third semester plant pathology class, where you're looking at diseases of plants and pathogens of plants, look at cannabis. Yep. Right. So it's kind of the beauty of a 2-year program in horticulture is that you can customize your work to what you're interested in. We're not prescribing in specific classes that you must study tulip cultivation,
right,
when really you want to study cannabis cultivation, yep, right? So yes, it's a three-class track, and those are the three classes, but you can also integrate cannabis in all of your other classes around horticulture. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would recommend strongly for anybody trying to get into the cannabis cultivation space commercially to ensure, if you're going to go to FLCC, make sure you take the plant propagation course as well. That is a great one and will be instrumental in helping make sure you keep your genetics alive. So this class that's coming in the spring, did you say that was going to be hands-on? Did I catch that correctly?
It's going to be hands-on as much as it can be for the first time around.
Okay.
There are some alterations we have to make to the greenhouse, for example. It may even be hands-on in other locations.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was going to be my follow-up question was, did FLCC get approved to have hemp on campus or something of that nature to be able to do the hands-on classes?
Right. And so I think that that's mostly a matter of testing.
Okay.
Right. And testing our THC levels, et cetera, from what I understand.
Yep.
I'm anxious for the class to go, and we have a couple of good practitioners that are interested in teaching the class. That's going to be an adjunct taught class with two adjunct instructors, and both of them are in the industry.
Nice.
So one of them, yeah. So I'm really anxious to see how they develop that class and see how that rolls. So it really is, it's still in formation, let's say. Yeah.
Like you said, it's obviously still kind of in its infancy. Do you foresee, is there any talks about expanding the classes? I know this industry, you could have an entire university literally devoted to cannabis, a business track, a horticulture track, an economics track. Do you see FLCC expanding to other cannabis niches outside of horticulture? And if so, is anything like that in the works?
So I think, and again, is it in the works? Sort of. I mean, we're talking about certificates, right? And that would be a great way for that, a great direction for that to go for specified. And there are, even though there aren't that many colleges out there that have a cannabis programs, for example, the University of Michigan, they have four certificates. And Steve, you've kind of gone to this. They have a certificate in business, they have a certificate in regulations, a certificate in cultivation, and one last certificate. And so they've already done that as far as non-college credit certificates go. If we start a certificate, it would be more hands-on, but still have plant science in the background of it, as far as at the academic side of things. If we end up starting a certificate at the workforce development side of things, then that would look a little bit different, I would say, in the sense of maybe more, you know, a seed to sale type of class, something like that, or many different classes, you know. And I think that another program that we could follow as a model is a program in Pennsylvania at Pitt, Pennsylvania Institute of Technology. That's a technical school. So when you're looking at technical schools, then it's not quite as academic, which could work out for the industry, especially even in New York State, right?
Absolutely.
So two different directions. And so if with our horticulture degree with the track, that we could look at as if a person wants to transfer somewhere else. They want to go to Morrisville for the business side of things, for example. Or we could have a certificate that would just put people out in the workforce. Again, yes, we've talked about that some and talked about infancy. That is definitely in the infancy. I think that things will change very quickly, especially now that we know what the numbers are looking like as far as interest goes. Yeah.
Awesome. So you bringing up Pitt actually kind of triggered a thought in my head about our own RIT. I had heard whispers that they're doing something with cannabis. Have you ever heard anything of that nature?
I've not heard that yet.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. Doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah. It's so weird that like these people, I mean, I guess I get that they're doing it a little bit underground and trying to be low key, but it's weird that you would think that that would be such a driver for enrollment at a time like this, when we just legalized. Like, why wouldn't you be putting this out there? Like, anyway, that's neither here. We're not here to talk about RIT. We're here to talk about FLCC.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, New York, I think New York, especially our area, is literally poised to be the beating heart of the industry, especially from an academic perspective. We have already have great institutions like FLCC who've got the ball rolling, is going to set the precedent for everyone else. We have the likes of Cornell and their ag program. We have U of R and their business and medical program, RIT and their tech program. One of my mentors specifically, his name's Dr. Harold Smith, and he was a founding, really one of the founding fathers of the mRNA technology field, right? And he's big into cannabis. I've had him on one of my old podcasts. He's a great friend of mine. He's a great mentor of mine, and he's all in on cannabis. And even with somebody with that magnitude of influence, I'm talking many, many patents, like global connects to some of the, you know, most prominent inner circles in our mRNA technology. Even when you have people like that knocking on the doors, no, we're not going to touch it. We're not going to touch it. But when all these universities get in and you can say, yeah, I have a master's degree in endocannabinoid science, or I have a master's degree in cannabis taxation. That's where the industry, you know, the industry is already a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's probably a much bigger industry than what the projections are actually saying due to the kind of still underground financial nature of the industry. But once all these institutions are really able to go head first into this space, there's the progress, the innovation, and just it's going to be, I mean, cannabis is a whole nother universe. It is completely unexplored. It's so cool to sit across the table from somebody who's really in one of the first academic cohorts to go through this program. You know, one of our first episodes was Haley Summers out of Colorado State, who put out that big paper in Nature about the sustainability problem that coincides with indoor cultivation. And like to see these first class of students go through is really cool to say, hey, I was one of the first people to get a cannabis degree. You know, that's historical in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't really know where I was going to that. Kudos to, you know, to you guys to kind of being, you know, a first and really paving the way for what is only going to be a massive industry and academic opportunity for a lot of people.
Thanks, man. I think our listeners at this point know that we get into rambling a little bit sometimes, and I don't think they care too much. It might be like, all right, get on with it once in a while, but it is what it is. One question that I kind of actually wanted to ask on part one and kind of just fell off was, in the process of implementing this program, was there resistance? And I'm sure there was. And at which levels, and like, what were the things that they were pushing back against in trying to bring this program in?
Gosh, Justin, I'm trying to think about that. As far as resistance goes, you know, because when we created the classes, of course, internally, we had to go through our assessment committees and our, you know, all these different committees with it. And I don't know that there was that much resistance as far as the faculty went, right? I mean, that's who's sitting on those committees, are faculty. There really wasn't that much resistance. If anything, it was they were wanting to make sure that we were thorough about what we had, what we were teaching, who our audience was going to be, and if it conflicted with other classes so that students couldn't, you know, take a cannabis track class and not take this class type of thing. So
that makes sense.
I can't really say that there was resistance there. I almost resisted a little bit when setting up the track, because we had to do away with some classes, a couple of classes, to make room for it, because of course we are a SUNY school, right? We fall under State University of New York, and SUNY says you can only have 64 credits in your program. right? So we couldn't go beyond that. So we had to take some classes out. And so classes like ecology and environmental science had to go, you know, so in the regular horticulture program.
Of the cannabis track. I thought you meant like out of the school. Oh, okay. No. No. Okay. Gotcha.
No.
You said those names. So I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So see, you took those classes as a horticulture major, but if you're a track, if you're a horticulture cannabis track student, you are not required to take ecology and environmental science, you know, and it tore at my heart a little bit because I really feel those classes are important. You know, Steve, you mentioned sustainability. Environmental science class and ecology, that's the basis for that, you know, and that language. So really our horticulture program is kind of an environmental horticulture program, just as it is as an AAS, you know. So that was a little bit of resistance, but even our board of trustees, I did not hear anything as far as resisting went.
That's good.
I do want to say that FLCC's environmental science with Professor John Bateman entirely opened my eyes to a lot of issues that I didn't even really know were issues. And they are at the burning forefront. What does make me a little bit more optimistic about the fact that you had to remove them from the cannabis track is that a lot of us cannabis people are nature, environment loving people anyway. So we're going to kind of find that regardless, but it is an unfortunate loss. I will say that because that was a wonderful class to go with. And Mora's ecology class was awesome as well. That to learn how different systems interact with each other and how water and land and weather and all of those things play a part into how each living thing is able to survive it really is important. But
I don't have much of a horticulture background, you know, at all, really. I have, things that I've read and learned, and I don't think people really understand how beautifully complex and brilliant, these environmental systems are. You know, when I first read Teeming with Microbes by Jeff Lowenfalls, I read it I listened to it on an audiobook on my way to a wedding in Boston and back. I came back with like, holy cow, I thought this, I put my seed in dirt and watered it and it grew. And you realize that there's this whole universe of life under the soil and how you treat it. And, you know, when you're in the context of cannabis, how you treat the soil will entirely dictate the medicine you get at the end of it. So absolutely. I think helping people try, you know, and that's really some of the point of this podcast is to act as a mentally stimulating thing. So we can get people to start thinking about, this isn't about getting high. This isn't a stoner podcast. This is helping people understand that cannabis is more than something that you light on fire and makes you feel good. It is an entire universe of, you know, all these different niches. And when we start, you know, I hope that people, you know, our listeners hear conversations like this and say, hey, maybe I am going to devote my life to cannabis. Maybe I am going to pursue an academic track in cannabis. Because once you really, you know, for us, we can sit there and talk cannabis all day. People say like, you know, oh, you're in the cannabis industry. Oh, you're a stoner. You're a drug dealer. It's ignorant. And not to say that in a bad way, but there's only, you know, there's just a handful of us that really get it, from the soil to how you treat the plant to how you, you know, harvest the plant, how you make medicine. When you really understand how complex it is, it makes it very easy to become obsessed with the plant. And it seems, you know, that obsession is growing amongst a lot of people, it seems, day by day. So I think as we kind of, you know, wrap up this segment, I'm really interested in, you know, what are you super interested, you know, what are your current burning interests in the industry? And, you know, what are you looking forward to in terms of research, in terms of studying? I'd love to know.
Yeah, I think it's actually the growing of the plants themselves, right? So it's as opposed to, I guess I'm interested in end products too, but really the all different ways that you can grow it, whether it's hydroponically, aeroponically, or just plain in the soil, right? So I would say anything that has to do with the growing of the cannabis plant is what I'm most excited about.
I think we're one and the same.
Yeah, because it's like, it's so complex. And you're right, Steve. And I think this, just coming out of a pandemic, when now it's hard to buy vegetable seeds, yep. not to mention any other kind of products to grow plants, because everybody's getting into growing their own plants and being a little bit more self-sufficient. And with that self-sufficiency usually comes a respect for what they're growing in, right? You know, with if you're paying attention to something, you usually care about it. So if you're paying attention to how plants grow and where your food's coming from, then you usually end up caring deeply about it. So I think that this, we're almost at a precipice when it comes to growing plants better, whether they're food plants, ornamental plants, trees, or cannabis. That's pretty exciting. And I think another thing is your generation, you guys, are really going to dictate a lot. Yep.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where the industry unfolds. Oops, knocking over my bingo balls over here. one question, and feel free to tell me that you don't want to answer this if you want, but do you have, I don't know how to word it without making it weird. Do you have like maybe consumption experience? Is that, were you ever a consumer, or have you always kind of been from afar?
Gotcha. So have I ever smoked pot? That kind of
thing? Yeah, that's a definite.
You know, I mean, see, certainly CBD right now, as far as oils go, absolutely. It seems like since I've been doing so much WebEx and so much on my computer, my neck has been shot. Well, CBD oil, it's a good temporary fix.
Yeah,
it really is. And whether it's a psychological, psychosomatic thing, or if it really works, it's working, right? Yeah. So as far as consumption then goes, and yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 70s.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know?
Yeah,
it wasn't, you know,
it'd be weird if you didn't consume pot, you know?
Yeah, it was almost that type of thing, you know, and I know that after my college days, but definitely after my college days, it was like, yeah, no, not really that interested anymore, because it was, you know,
Reefer Madness was coming around. It's also if there's a certain type of person who can smoke all day and still go to work, and then there's pretty much everybody else, to where it kind of makes you a little bit lazier. You don't want to get things done. You're being less productive. And for those people, it makes sense to consume less, right? Everything within reason, or not at all. Even if it's making you unproductive, you should stop. You really should. This plant honestly isn't for everybody, but for the people that it does work for, it's like magic, right? In my opinion.
Yeah. Sure. We all know.
Right. It was also, I'm also of a generation that went from a four-finger $20 ounce to a bud that would just, you know, you couldn't even consume part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Reagan generation, that's what that Reagan era did, is it brought on a whole different form of cannabis.
Yeah.
It brought on a whole different form. Really, really interesting when it was supposed to control and kind of knock it out of society. It really refined what people were growing out there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cannabis today, it is not your granddaddy's weed anymore. There's this graphic that floats around. I think it's either from the 80s or 70s of like the high times. Like, I don't know if it was cannabis cup winners, but it was all these thumbnail images of all these pictures of weed from the 80s or 70s of like, this is this year's winners, and it's swag. But that's what, you know, these are 4, 5, 6% cultivars. Now you have some of these growers pulling 35% out of a flower, and it's amazing, and it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. And you know, that's
I mean, it can't get too much better, because at the end of the day, the percentage is a percentage of the whole. And if you have something that's 50% THC or bigger, like, that's all of those other full spectrum cannabinoids and terpenes that you're not getting, though. So like, there is a level of balance. I personally would like to see something around 28-30% with a nice balance of everything else with it. That's me. I mean, everybody's got their thing, but I don't know if you've ever done one of those isolate dabs, or
I don't like isolates.
There's nothing to it. You know what I mean? It's almost like you need something else with it to get the effect.
Yeah.
So THC isn't, it needs the other things to help. So that's it. Anyway.
Yeah. And speaking of full spectrum, and not to, to jump the gun, because I'm not sure the exact date we're going to release this episode, but 1 week from today, or 6 days from today, we're actually going to be interviewing Dr. Ethan Russo, who is really kind of at the forefront of this notion of full spectrum and the entourage effect with his paper Taming THC, which literally kind of set the course for my cannabis career. And that essentially says, in terms of cannabis and other plant therapeutics, I don't believe this is specific to cannabis. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, which is why I still think it's crazy that all these companies are releasing these pure isolates. And I understand there's people who don't want to consume trace amounts of THC. I get it. If you work a government job or something, you can get in trouble. Don't risk your life for cannabis. But the reality is, and it's continued to prove true, when the more cannabis compounds that you can preserve in a medicinal product, the more efficacious. And I just think that holds true for all herbal products.
Yeah,
so
100%.
I
think it's been a wonderful episode, Berna. I think we are coming close to the end of our studio time here. Thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything that you would like to plug? Is there I don't know if you want a bunch of people hitting you up on social media or not, but is there somewhere people can contact you if they want to try and get a hold of you? If you prefer not to, I understand. I know your inbox is already busy.
They can get a hold of me right here at FLCC. Even if they go to the FLCC.edu site, they can also look up what our cannabis track is. It's a very user-friendly site, and they will also find my email address on there. I would love to answer questions, field questions, et cetera, et cetera. It was really a pleasure to be on here with you guys today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to have you come back and join us again sometime in the future, if that's able. And definitely once we know how that spring class is either starting out or going to continue to go, I'm really curious to see how that works out.
I'll keep you in the loop, especially also as far as what happens with New York State and FLCC, if anything comes down with that as far as workforce development and incubators.
Yeah.
That would be great to talk about that as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And if there's anything we can do to use our platform to elevate, your voice or the college's voice or your message, please, that's what we're here for. Our goal is to bring legitimacy to this industry through education. And you're clearly doing that as a career, and we thank you so much. This is what's going to put the industry forward. So everybody, this has been another episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. We'll see you next week.
Elevate your state of mind.
Thanks to our friends here at Rockbox Recording and Production in Rochester, New York. They are a full professional podcast and video studio designed by a radio guy for podcasters. Audio, video, voiceovers, editing, whatever. Mouth off at Rockbox at rockbox.com.
You can follow Cannabis Cum Laude on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Cannabis. Type Cannabis Cum Laude into your search bar and you should be able to find us, but the links will also be posted in the episode notes as well. If you want to help support the show, head on over to Patreon, and that will ensure that we're able to keep the best quality sound and video coming to you on a regular basis. And if you liked what you heard today, please don't forget to rate and review the show.